Well, hey there, Tim. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you as well, Tom.
So we're recording this on a video call, as has been tradition for quite a while now. Even though we're beginning to explore what church reopening looks like, we're not in any position whatsoever to get back into the building as a collective, and therefore we're continuing to stay at home and record from our various individual spaces. But without further ado, we wanted to talk very briefly at the start about last week. It was so great to have Dave join us, wasn't it?
It was amazing, and a really great guy who comes with a lot of experience in church life, but also, as we talked about, the racial injustice issues as well. Clearly, he's been involved for a long time in local communities, trying to find ways forward to reconcile and to... encourage people to get informed and dig deeper and make a difference. So yeah, it was very moving to hear what he had to say.
Incredibly powerful. And yeah, he offered some really good practical advice to us. If you haven't heard it, then I'd urge you to just stop listening to this now. Listen to last week's instead. It's probably far more interesting than hearing me and Tim talk for 20 minutes or so. Admittedly, it's quite a long one, but that's because Dave had so much to share with us. And we just wanted to put it all out online for you to be able to listen to the entirety of our conversation, uncut, as it were. And I'd urge you to just go away and give some time to it, because it's a really important conversation to continue having. And for me and Tim, I think when we were talking before this about what we were going to talk about in today's podcast, we both realised that I think for us, we're now in this exploration stage. We're at this point of saying we've talked about it for a few weeks and we've kind of seen and observed lots of what's gone on. And now we're trying to ourselves personally get our heads around, okay, so we understand what needs to happen, but actually there's this practical thing of how do we do this, and we've both realized we've bought separately from one another without knowing the same book called We Need to Talk About Race: Understanding the Black Experience in White Majority Churches, written by Ben Lindsay. It's published by SPCK, and you can get it on audiobook sites for about £8. You can get it as an ebook for £4. The book is £8 on Amazon. And from what I've heard, it's a really important book. And I've started reading it. I've only read the introduction up till today. But so far, I've been intrigued by what he's had to say in just the few words that he's shared so far. So I think we're both in this phase of exploration, trying to actually say, okay, we recognise, as we have done from the outset, we recognise that we need to do more. And now it's about saying, practically, as church leaders, how do we facilitate this? How do we make this something that we see in action across our church, our neighbourhood, our town, and our country?
So it's going to be good to continue that journey, and as we continue to listen and to get informed, and let's see where it takes us, but let's not stop, and let's keep on sensing what God wants us to do and how he wants us to respond, and into our own communities, into our workplaces, and with the people that we know and we care about. So it's been good. And thanks to David again for his input into that conversation, and we'll hopefully catch up with him another time as well in the not too distant future.
Has anything else happened in the last week or so, Tim?
Anything else? Well, Tom, you're being very restrained now, aren't you? Because I think a team who play in red sort of won the... Did they win the league? Was that right?
Did they win the league?
The first time in 30 years. Wow. That's an amazing achievement. And I have to give all credit to them for the amazing season and for achieving that. It takes a lot to win that league, so well done to Liverpool, and let's see what happens here on in, shall we? See if they can break any more records.
Yeah, it's a funny ending to the season, isn't it? There's still a huge amount on the line, but it does feel that the league was wrapped up probably back in December, in all honesty.
Yeah, I think
I actually wanted to talk for a little bit about... obviously, many of you will know that I have three loves in life, really. Jesus, my wife, and Liverpool Football Club.
I think you've done very well with that order, Tom. If you weren't thinking, I think you did really well.
But actually, I wanted to talk a little bit about a song that I sing multiple times every time I go to the matches. And it's a song that pretty much everyone in the church will have heard of, the wonderful song You'll Never Walk Alone. And now, as you, Tim, you've been to Anfield. You went there without me as well. I couldn't get a ticket, and yet you could get a ticket for that game. It was unbelievable. But as you get to Anfield, there's an area where you can walk under and through to get to the ground called the Shankly Gates. And as you walk through them and look up, you see the words emblazoned above it, You'll Never Walk Alone. And we've sort of, I've joked a bit at the weekend about the fact that actually that's a pretty apt description for our sermon series, for both of them, the encounters with Jesus and looking at the Holy Spirit. But to think back over the history of the song You'll Never Walk Alone, it sort of helps to put in perspective some of what we've been talking about. The song was originally taken from the musical Carousel, which I'm sure some of you have seen. I can't say that I have, even though you feel like I should have seen it, given the song's an imperative part of it. But Liverpool Football Club kind of adopted the chant. I think it was in the 60s or so. I haven't totally fact-checked every detail of this. I think in the 60s they began to kind of sing it after it reached number one in the UK charts. But then there was a terrible disaster. I wasn't alive to see it, but Tim, I'm sure you can remember in 1989, the semi-final of the FA Cup at Hillsborough.
I can remember where I was when I heard the report coming in on the radio. I was listening to the match on the radio, and quite staggered really as that all unfolded. And as we subsequently found out, an incredible tragedy for the club and for the city as well.
And I think it was a tragedy for football, actually, on that day. Yeah. I think it was that moment when there was a big shift in the way that football, as it was in the UK, was seen and how fans could go to grounds. But out of the sort of ashes from that, after the 95 and then another person afterwards in hospital, and then, of course, the 97th individual a few years later, in the aftermath of their deaths, an anthem sprung out. And up till then, the song You'll Never Walk Alone had been sung as a sort of jolly song on the terraces. But actually, for the Liverpool fans, as it was sort of sung at one of the church services that was held afterwards, You'll Never Walk Alone became an anthem for those people who were grieving at that time. And they, through the song, through the singing of it, they discovered that they were not alone, because there were strangers, there were politicians, there were celebrities, and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people alongside them who were rallying around them to support them in their time of grief. And since then, for Liverpool Football Club, that song has become a much more powerful anthem than it was before for them, as a reminder of what happened back in 1989, and still to this day, as the Hillsborough Memorial is still at Anfield, and it still takes place each year. It was due to be the last memorial service this year, sadly, but it's been postponed due to coronavirus. I was looking forward to going up to be with a full stadium of people at the last memorial service for it. But this kind of began to really strongly resonate with me. Thinking back to something that you talked about, when was it? Just after Easter, when we saw the two people walking on the road to Emmaus. And in that moment, there was grief. There was this feeling of people who were probably mulling over the dreadful events of the previous days. And I guess we can begin to think about that now with our coronavirus pandemic that we're going through, that it's affecting so many people, and we're mulling things over, and we're thinking of all of the terrible things that have happened. But then these disciples who are going through bewilderment, they're going through loss, they're going through grief, have this third person come alongside them. And they don't know who he is. They're not sure who this person who has come along to them in their time of need is. And yet, as we discover later, it was Jesus. Jesus came to them in their moment of greatest need. He walked alongside them and he said to them, effectively, the words of the song, "You'll never have to walk alone." And I think, as I've kind of played around this thought in the last few days, around what this idea of never walking alone looks like. I think I also was taken to Jesus in the garden. When Jesus was kind of praying to God, is why does this have to be this way? And then ultimately when he went onto the cross and he asked God, why have you forsaken me? And I think the question that was answered on that day is, do we ever have to? Do we ever have to be forsaken again? And the answer is no. Because of what's happened and because of all of that Jesus has gone through for us and because the Holy Spirit walks alongside with us, we really can know what it means to never walk alone.
Yeah, it's an amazing promise and fulfillment, really, isn't it? And just so reassuring time and time again, just to know that we're not on our own. And very apt, as you've said, Tom, for this particular time with the coronavirus, with isolation. Some folk listening to this will have been on their own for a long time, and perhaps things are beginning to ease a little bit now. But it's been a time when we've had to trust God more and more and more. And as you were talking, my mind just went to that John 16 passage when Jesus was teaching his disciples what was going to happen. And he says, you know, I'm going to go to the one who sent me. And they must have been a little bit bemused because the guys answer, where are you going? And rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send him to you. And it is this incredible promise that, and not only for the first followers of Jesus, but for us as well, to know that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the counsellor, has come to walk with each one of us as well. And that's such a powerful thing to remember, whether we're in coronavirus territory or whether it's any normality that we might have, that we are never alone and we don't have to walk alone, but always someone with us, which is incredibly powerful, really, isn't it? An amazing thing.
Some of this is about just knowing, absolutely knowing that there's somebody who's walking alongside us. There's that great poem, isn't there, Footsteps. I won't repeat all of it now, but I'm sure for some of you, it will adorn your walls somewhere in your house. You might have it on your fridge. But that's another really strong reminder to me of when there's those difficulties, when you have those storms in life, and maybe you get to that point of questioning if God even cares about you. We can know, we can look back at those moments, we can look forward to when they'll come in the future. We can know that he not only cares about every detail of our lives, he's actually walking alongside with us. And sometimes, as the Footsteps song, the Footsteps poem reads, sometimes he's actually carrying us through those stormy moments in life. And I think I was reminded recently when we had those incredible thunderstorms, just of the power of nature. And I was taken to the great story in the Bible about the storm. And we're going to explore that this weekend with our bedtime story. I've been really excited to share that one. And I know I'm jumping ahead by saying what it is. You know, we don't normally release what it's going to be beforehand. But I think it's been a story that has seemed to come up time and time again over the past 3 months of sort of our online services and before then. But it's something, again, it's this another amazing, powerful moment that we see when Jesus just came alongside the disciples and reassured them that he was with them, that he was there for them, and that he was going to see them through to the other side of the storm.
And this is reiterated time and again, and, you know, Christmas story, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, you know, the Great Commission, and I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. You know, it's a constant mantra of God, isn't it, really? You know, I am with you, and I want you to understand that. And just thinking about, you know, the people who may be listening to this from our own church, you know, and some of the situations that they find themselves in. We've been thinking a lot about our medics during this time and other key workers, our teachers, shop workers, and all those who have been on the front line continuing to work all the way through this time and putting themselves at incredible risk. And just to know that, you know, you're not alone into that, you know, that God is with you. And then for other people who are coming out of lockdown, those who've been furloughed, particularly I'm just feeling for any of you who have been furloughed, you know, and some of that anxiety of how long is this going
going to last, and am I going to go back into the workplace, or for those of you teaching your kids, we now know that schools are likely to go back in September and all children, so you know there's still a bit of time to go, but that God has been with you. And I think it's when we look back at this time, we'll know that God's promises have been true and certain and fulfilled once again throughout our lives as we've walked through this. But it doesn't make it easy. And there'll be some of you listening today who are still facing this ongoing struggle and wondering what is happening. But I pray for you and just want to remind you again today that you are not on your own. You're part of a big family, not only a church family, but also to know that you're part of God's family, and that He, through His Holy Spirit, is with you right now where you are in this moment, that He is with you. And I'd love you to know that and love you to affirm that and to receive that promise into your life again today. We should almost sing the song, really, Tom, but I know it'll sound fairly awful, really. It wouldn't be a tribute to anything or anybody.
We don't have to sing the song, but
I suppose.
I am incredibly glad that my beloved football club, Liverpool FC, have adopted this song that is just full of hope. And I suppose if we change, and I'm sure I'll get in trouble somewhere for saying this, but if we change the words, walk on with Christ in your heart, and you'll never walk alone, it just takes on even more meaning. And I suppose whilst I might find it very hard to fit all of those words in if I was singing it at Anfield, it is that moment where you can replace the word hope with Christ, because we know as Christians that when Jesus comes into our lives, the promise of the Holy Spirit, as we've seen, as we've explored it for the past few weeks, what this promise actually means for us. And if you've missed any of the weeks, I think they've all been really good, with the exception of one. The second one wasn't very good. I wouldn't trust the preacher on that week. It was me, by the way, before I put people off. I think they've all been really powerful, powerful messages for us to think through, actually. Okay, so at the moment, whilst we're all separate, whilst we're all apart, we're not able to do things in church as we'd like to. We haven't been able to take communion with one another. All of these things have been strange and not as we would hope that they would be. They go against all the years of church going up till this point. I think one of the things you said at the start, Tim, of this whole period of time has really stuck with me so well. This idea of, you know, you've spent the last 30 years of your life trying to get people to church and now you're having to tell them to go away. Mm. It's just the opposite of what we're planning. Yeah. But as we've done this stuff online, I think I've really seen the power and the work of God's Holy Spirit in my life and in the lives of others. Yeah. And thinking back to that passage, to the story from On the Road to Emmaus, when Jesus was revealed to them and when they understood what it meant, it said that their hearts were warmed. Mm. They were strangely warmed by this. Mm. It's a wonderful phrase. And I think throughout this period of time, I've seen new ways of recognising God around me. Mm. And my heart, when I see that, becomes strangely warmed.
Yeah.
And I think I have to look at that and say, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I just wanted to share a little bit about my love of football today, a bit of my knowledge about the background of the song, but also then linking in just to some of the thoughts that I've had over the past few days, really. And it's only come out of trying to think through all of the links to the Holy Spirit and just how really it is an incredible, incredible link.
But once every 30 years, Tom, we'll allow you to indulge yourself in Liverpool's splendid season. And of course, as you said, we're going to start the Book of Daniel, and Daniel is another expression of, the situation, you are not alone, whatever is happening. So we're looking forward to beginning that this Sunday, and I hope that you'll find that really helpful and encouraging, and also affirming as we continue this season as well. Brilliant. Thanks, Tom.
No, thank you.
We've done that song justice today. I don't think AFC Bournemouth have a song. I'm not sure.
You can never do justice to that song, Tim. Come on. but then we can never give full justice to the Holy Spirit either. Well, all we can do is try our best.
New things to learn.
And there's always new things to learn, new things to discover.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's your job, Tim, for next week. Work out how we can get We Love You Bournemouth. We do. Is that a chant? Yeah.
No. No, Bournemouth is about resurrection, though, because they were on minus 17 just a few years ago and likely to go out of the league. It's incredible to think in the bottom league on minus 17 points, and look where they've been now. They may not stay there much longer.
I was going to say,
it's been an amazing story of resurrection for a club.
You strangely said where they've been, not where they are. We'll see, won't we? We'll see.
There's always another game.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, I think we've exhausted the football now and people are going to be getting very bored. But we'll see what we get to talk about next week.
Yeah, we want to pray as we come towards the end, as we've done on every week that we've joined together on our podcast. And we want to spend some time praying today into the situation around us. Whilst it seems like the coronavirus has sort of gone on the back burner in recent weeks, we only have to turn on the news to realise today that it's very much still here. As we saw Leicester go back into lockdown, and as we have to begin to face all of the battles with regards to reopening and just how difficult it is to do that. We just want to spend some time praying into our coronavirus pandemic at the moment, and we want to ask God to come alongside us as we continue to try and do his work here on this earth.
Let's pray. Lord, we've been walking through a time of unprecedented worldwide pressure and pain. We're so grateful that in many nations around the world, COVID-19 has been mitigated. Other precious cities and nations, however, are still being battered by this pandemic. Furthermore, the world's economies are reeling, social unrest is erupting, and historic tensions between nations are beginning to simmer and boil afresh. Even in the midst of this pressure and pain, we continue to stand in faith. Our choices to believe, to pray, to love, to give, to read your word, they make a difference. So even when our circumstances don't seem to be changing as fast as we would like, we ourselves change when we choose to obey you. We rest in the fact that even when everything seems out of control, you are still in control. Heavenly Father, as we draw close to you and to one another, fill us every day with fresh faith, love, hope, and joy.
Amen. Lord, we have fought to not grow weary in well-doing. We ask that you would give us the strength not to quit. Every time that we see a victory, we're confronted by another complex challenge. You are a God who heals. So we cry out to you for the eradication of COVID-19 and an outpouring of your Spirit. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would eradicate COVID-19, restore our nations, and bring healing to all the people in our world. Amen.
Amen. Lord, you say that if we do not become weary in well-doing, we will reap a harvest at the proper time if we don't give up. Around the world, Christians from every tribe, tongue and nation unite in the belief that a fresh move of your Holy Spirit is imminent. Heavenly Father, we boldly come before your throne, united in one voice, asking you to give us the greatest evangelistic harvest in human history. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, the multiple crises shaking our world have opened countless doors for us to love and care for others in your name. Let us continue to give, to love, to serve, and to minister to the people around us. Your gospel is the answer to the deepest needs of our world. Heavenly Father, empower us to both live and proclaim the gospel. Amen.
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 Thanks, Tom.
Have a wonderful week. have a really, really good week. Yeah. And we will see you at the weekend. Tim, you've got, we're having an update pop out on Friday. Well, we've already put stuff out this week, haven't we? Yes. Katie gave us a wonderful devotion on Monday evening. If you haven't seen that, do go and check that out. That's on YouTube. So you can find it. It's about 15 minutes and it'll give you an opportunity to pray for some of the nations who are worst affected by the coronavirus. So that was on Monday. And then Friday, you've got a little MBC update will be coming out Saturday. Of course, we've already let you know what the story's going to be, entitled "The Storm That Stopped." I was going to try and do it in order with all the books, but I just couldn't help myself this week. I'm just going to have to jump straight in there and do a story that has been on my heart since the start of this whole thing. So that'll be coming out on Saturday
with sound effects, Tom. With sound effects?
Absolutely with sound effects. I'm really hoping it rains in the next few days badly. Yes. So I can get outside under a tarpaulin and really feel the story. so we'll see what we can do about that. And then, of course, on Sunday, we're beginning our new series looking at the Book of Daniel. We're going to be having a bit of a conversation, looking at some of the questions that come out of the first chapter. So it's going to be a bit different from normal. But we're really looking forward to be able to share with you some thoughts from Daniel chapter 1.
Thanks, Tom. Yep, well, do stay connected, everyone, and be in touch if we can help, or if you just want to chat, or just to be prayed with. We'd love to do that for
you. Yeah, we'd love to pray with you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you soon.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye.